ज्ञानमिदंडस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाच्छलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनित्यनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पश्चात्यते सधारिणे हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवे प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासति गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
I am very honored, very grateful to be with all of you today. Thank you for being here. This morning, Dr. Bhavaskar received a special award for his lifetime of compassion, especially he put his heart and soul into developing cures for those who have been bitten by snakes. And also recognized for a life of very high, uncorruptible ethics. From a moral, ethical, spiritual perspective, there is a snake of human beings' lower nature, a serpent that lives within all of us. When that snake, when it strikes, it injects the venom of greed, envy, arrogance, selfish passion and illusion. Now, if a person is bit by a snake in this world, it's important that they recognize what's happened to them and take a cure. But today, people misidentify the poison to be nectar. Greed, envy, selfish passion, in all various fields of people's occupations, and their relationships are glorified. Through entertainment, through literature, and through the examples of people who are heroized by our youth and our society. Conferences like today are meant to help all of us to give the proper serum to the snake bites of people's lower nature. It is said that if you lose your wealth, you lose nothing. If you lose your health, you lose something. If we lose our character, we lose everything. The Bhagavad Gita tells, yad yad acharati shrestas tad tad evi durojana. Sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate. What leaders within our society do, and the standards that they set by their examples, is what the common people of the world will pursue, especially the youth. It is so very important that we overcome arrogance with humility, greed with a genuine joy of generosity. We must overcome darkness with light. As Mickey was saying, without positive alternatives, we cannot expect people to overcome their lower tendencies. It is so very important that we base our lives on principles that are in harmony with who we truly are, with what we really want. Yoga is not just asanas, physical exercises, and breath control. That is an aspect of yoga. But one of the greatest yoga scriptures is the Bhagavad Gita. It teaches a whole science. Every verse of Bhagavad Gita, 700 in number, is about the practice of yoga. That yoga is a way of life, a way of thinking, feeling, willing, and how that internal transformation affects what we speak and what we do. Yoga is the science, the art of harmonizing the various components of the body with each other. Harmonizing the body with the mind. Then harmonizing the mind with the true self, the jivatma, or the soul. How can we be happy? How can we give happiness if we do not know who we are? This is a universal principle. The Bible tells, what profiteth a man who gains the whole world but loses their eternal soul? Bhagavad Gita begins with this principle. Najayate mriyate vakadachit. The nature of the self, the true you, the true me, the source of life, is we are without birth, without death, Satchit Ananda. The nature of the soul is it is eternal, it is full of knowledge, and it is full of happiness, inherently. The fundamental problem in this world is we're looking outside through our senses, through the ever-flickering nature of the mind, to try to find that eternal happiness that's within us through fleeting little pleasures. But it could never satisfy us. Because what are we really looking for? Things could give pleasure to the mind, to the body, for a few seconds, maybe a few years. But things can never give pleasure to the heart. What is it that the heart craves for? To be loved and to love. Just about a year ago, I was asked to give some lecture in Dubai. It was an interesting lecture. It was at the 7-star hotel. And it was in the ballroom. The ambassador of India introduced me, and he said, "In this most magnificent, luxurious place, we have asked this Swami to speak to us on the subject of simple living and high thinking." And I see in the audience billionaires and millionaires and nothing less than that. I'm really curious, what is Swami going to tell us? And I came on the stage and I said a little prayer in my silence. What am I going to tell them? Actually, simple living and high thinking is not about being a penniless Swami or a simple farmer or a professor or a mother or a father or a millionaire or a billionaire, politician, scientist. Simple living and high thinking means to have a simple, well-wishing heart in whatever we do. That is yoga. When we harmonize the body, the mind with the soul, and then we harmonize the soul with the Paramatma, the Supreme Soul. And that harmony is where real happiness is to be found. To experience God's limitless love for us. When we are touched by that love, then the greatest joy in all of creation is simply to share that love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that love is within each of us. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Saravanadi Sudhi Chuti Koriya Yudhoi. That this prema, this divine love, is the nature of the soul. We don't have to get it. We simply need to wake up. Jeev jago, jeev jago, goda chandra bole, kota nidra jayo maya pisachi rakole. Wake up, sleeping souls. Understand who we really are and what we really have. Inseparable from our very existence is an ever-flowing fountain of happiness and love. But we've forgotten it. And therefore, we're pathetically, life after life after life, trying to find it through getting power, through getting wealth, through getting sensual pleasures and prestige. They cannot touch the heart. But when we awaken this love for our, when we awaken this awareness of the sweetness, the beauty of Krishna's love, God's love, then there's no greater pleasure than to reciprocate. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives an example. When you put water on the root of a tree, it naturally extends to every part of the tree, the leaves, the twigs, the flowers, the branches. When we awaken this love, when we experience God's love, then it awakens our love. And that love is for everyone. True spirituality is not just about a philosophy or a doctrine that we may believe and profess. True spirituality is about the quality of how we live and why we live. The Gita tells, Sarva yonishu kontiya murtiya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahajoni raham bija pratapita. We're all coming from the same source, janmadya shayataha. We all have the same mother and the same father. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvata. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, I am the source of all spiritual and all material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Real wisdom is to live in a spirit of devotion. We are especially here to speak on the relevance of yoga and spirituality and true ethics within the medical community. There has been so many breakthroughs and great progress in the medical world. But still, stress, mental illness, suicide, addictions, and all sorts of new diseases coming. Is the quality of life really better? Conferences like today are to help us to harmonize our progress of modern medicine with traditional spiritual values. Dharma begins with respect and gratitude. Traditionally, when a patient comes to a practitioner of medicine, whether it's Ayurvedic, allopathic, homeopathy, naturopathy, acupuncture, or whatever, yoga, therapy, the doctor, the health practitioner, is not thinking, I will cure this person. The health practitioner is seeing in light of his own or her own self-realization that this is a blessed, sacred child of God that has been brought to me. I am so fortunate. Bhagavan, God has entrusted his own child's health to me. That's a privilege. That's something to be humbled by. That's something we should be deeply grateful for.
Rasalham ap sukonteya prabhashmi shashishu yayo pranava sarva vedeshu shabdike purusham drishu.
In this verse of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches us how to see the divine in the taste of water, in the light of the sun and the moon, in the sacred syllable Om and the Vedic mantras, and to understand that whatever abilities we have, whatever intelligence we have, whatever facilities we have, is a gift that is entrusted to us. We are not proprietors of these gifts. We are caretakers. We are trustees. To use these gifts with compassion, as instruments of compassion, is truth. It's honesty. To be humble is simply a matter of being honest. Sarva loka maheshwaram. If our money belongs to us, if our intelligence belongs to us, if our abilities belong to us, if our power of speaking belongs to us, nothing and no one could ever take it away. But everything will be taken away in due course of time. Time is an incredible blessing in this world because it's there to wake us up. You can't stop time. The greatest scientists cannot stop time. All the militaries with all the nuclear weapons and all the artillery and all the armies cannot stop the progress of time for one second. The most beautiful Bollywood actress cannot seduce time. The greatest multi-billionaires cannot bribe time. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, I am time. To seek God's grace in time. What is ours? Everything is a divine gift. Even if we work so hard for it, still, it's a gift. It's a gift that we have the strength to even work for it. We are trustees of sacred property. And this is especially important in the medical field. People want health because they want quality in life. But if we're truly compassionate, if we truly care, we will see health in a holistic way. The body, the mind, and the soul. I've seen some of the most physically fit people in the most miserable states because their mind is not happy. Mental anguish hurts more than physical pain. More people commit suicide due to mental anxiety than physical pain.
Just think of it this way. If your body's feeling really good, but you're mentally distraught, you feel betrayed, you feel cheated, you feel angry, you feel depressed, can your physical health give you any happiness? But if you're really feeling happy within, even if you're physically in a very difficult situation, you're happy. Because happiness is something that happens within our heart, not out there. One of my dear friends, she was dying of cancer in London. She was a very, very powerful lady, always an activist in whatever she did. She always wanted to help people. And she especially liked to stand up for the people who were being pushed down by others. And here she was, laying on her deathbed with cancer, paralyzed from her waist down. She had to be spoon-fed by her husband. Her husband was cleaning her excrement. And she was going to die in a couple days. And she said to her husband, I used to be so strong and so active. Now I'm nothing. I can't do anything anymore. And then she smiled, and her eyes glistened with joy. And she said, but I have limitless relevance, even now, because Krishna loves me. And nothing could take that love away from me. Not even death can take that love away from me, because I feel it and I know it. And then she smiled even bigger and said, but I can't feel better than anybody. I can't think myself better than anyone else, because Krishna loves everyone. When we experience the awakening of our soul, the awakening of our love, then we don't have to compare ourselves to others. So does that mean we will not be competitive? We will be competitive, but in a healthy way. Not to push others down, but to lift everybody else with us. Who's more motivated? A person in business who's prompted by greed, or a mother who's prompted by love? The mother will work 24 hours a day for her child, not expect prestige. And usually the child just, if it's a baby child, just kicks her and passes all kinds of stuff on her. What is she getting? She's getting the fulfillment of giving. This is Bhagavad Gita. Whether we're warriors like Arjuna, whether we're politicians, whether we're in business, whether we're swamis or sadhus, whether we're mothers or fathers or educators, or in the medical fields. True yoga. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad chuhoshi tadasi yad. Is when our actions and our words, our profession, how we raise our families, is an expression of the great wealth that we have within ourselves. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he was a very special person. He lived at the latter part of the
19th century, early 20th century. He was considered a saint among saints. The most renounced Babaji's, sadhus, swamis, the most learned pundits, scholars, they came to him for blessings, for enlightenment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a married man. His wife, Bhagavati, was everything he was. He had 10 children. At that time, under British subjugation, India, he worked as a judge, as a magistrate for the British Raj. He was so efficient. When he would give a judgment on a person, even if he sent them to prison, he did it with such compassion and such grace that the person who was given sentence would oftentimes bow to him and say, "Because you're giving me this sentence, I know it must be the best thing for me." He wrote dozens of books, thousands of beautiful poems and songs. And in one beautiful song, there's a particular verse. He's quoting Sri Chaitanya. Enechi asadi maya nashi barulagi harinama mahamantra lao tumi magi. Said, "I've come as a doctor, and you're all suffering in this world. Abram abubana loka punaravartanorjana mamupetyutu kontiya punarjanmana vidyate. Everyone's on the pathway to death. Ariatmaka, aridaivaka, aribhotaka. There's miseries caused by the body and mind. There's miseries caused by other living beings, and there's miseries caused by natural disturbances. But I've come with the medicine, the aushadhi, which will make you happy, which will cure you from all suffering. Harina maha mantra lao tu mi magi. The name of God. What is the power of the name of God? It awakens our true potential. Meditation, seva, prayer, yoga practice in all its varieties. The great sages and rishis and avatars have given it to us especially to awaken our true inner potential. Which is to love God and to be an instrument of true, unconditional compassion in whatever we do. This may sound like something so lofty and so surrealistic and so unapproachable, but that's the problem. It seems that way. Why? Because we're just so disconnected from what's the inseparable nature of who we are. It's the closest thing to us, the greatest wealth. I truly believe that events like today, where we come together to be in this world but not of this world, to learn how to motivate ourselves through satsang, through this association, beyond sectarian religious concepts, how to be saragrahi, how to be seeking the essence in whatever we do. many of you are parents. Some are grandparents. What legacy are you going to leave for your children and grandchildren? Are you going to leave them a bunch of money that they might end up fighting over and hating each other over? Or are we going to leave them the legacy of an example, of integrity, of dignity, of love and compassion? That is the greatest need. That is the greatest medicine.
And sadhus or gurus, they're kind of like doctors too. People come to them in distressful conditions, seeking some healing.
If doctors, through our example, through our integrity, if we actually care about people, we'll try to help their body, their minds, and their souls. And that will be the joy of our lives. Because when people come to doctors, they're usually quite receptive. Last time I was here, I was speaking about my father. He's 94 years old. And the same thing I talked about last year, three days ago when I talked to him, he was in the same condition. He's 94 years old. He's in Chicago. That's where I was born. And it was below zero in temperature. And there was massive snow everywhere. And he had bronchitis, infectious bronchitis, and he was coughing and he couldn't sleep. He was practically dying of this infection, and he called his doctor. And you can't talk to your doctor, you just talk to the secretary. And she made him an appointment for 3 weeks. He said, "I'm dying. I'm not going to last 3 weeks. At least give me some medication." She said, "No, we can't give you the medication unless you come in for a checkup, and there's no appointments available for 3 weeks." He was in desperation emotionally. He said, "What should I do?" I said, "I know a doctor. He lives in Washington, D.C. And I said, "Please send him some medicine." And he did. He's getting better. But what kind of, is this a doctor that cares? The man's going to die, and he can't even talk to him. A meaningful life is a life that has meaning. Making money only has meaning if we make it with integrity. Making money only has meaning if we live our life and spend it with compassion. To educate people how to get better, how to avoid various diseases and ailments, and ultimately, how to transcend even death. It's inevitable for the body, but it's impossible to touch the soul. We've all been entrusted with this gift. Thank you very much. I do not want to embarrass you, but Dr. Sankey is exactly that doctor I was trying to explain. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj, for such a brilliant portrayal of spirit of health. It was very inspiring, and you also taught us how to seek the essence of care and compassion, living a life full of compassion. Just for the information of the audience, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj has written several books. The two of the best-selling books are The Journey Home, A Life History, A Reference Manual, A Solace for Physical, Emotional, Spiritual, and Mental Health. And the other book that he has written is The Journey Within, which helps us to travel on the most important journey of our lives to the eternal place of abundant love and happiness. These books are available for you outside. So if you wish, you can pick up a copy of the same. Thank you once again, Maharaj, for the brilliant portrayal.
My sincere and humble gratitude for His Holiness Radhanath Swami for giving a brilliant talk on how to practice in spirit of health. I think everyone in the hall should try to at least imbibe a few of the points that he told us. We will now break for lunch. A few important announcements before that. I'm sure many of you may want to interact with His Holiness Radhanath Swami and other moderators. So we will take questions only during. Another announcement.